Good morning.
Good morning.
A lot are gone because of Thanksgiving, but we do have some visitors. Members, we're also thankful you're here, but remember, visitors are special. Greet all of our visitors. And Jay's mother is here this morning, so make sure you greet Jay's mother too. We just recently went through a day that we call Thanksgiving. And today my question is, what is Thanksgiving? I've heard people trying to stir up thankfulness in others by quoting this. I complained that I had no shoes until I met someone who had no feet. My question is, what do you say to one who has no feet? Does thankfulness mean that I am glad that I escaped the misfortunes of others? I wonder, is it really gratitude if I'm just glad that God has treated me better than others? Is there something more to gratitude than mere relief? It was read this morning. But James said, don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. But how am I to react when the gifts life throws at me are not good and perfect, but evil and imperfect? I find it interesting that the Bible first says, don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. And then it says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. I take this to mean that good and perfect gifts are often surprises. They do not necessarily come in the expected ways. As I look at life, as I see the disadvantaged, as I see the amputee, as I look at my own downtimes, I could conclude that there are no good gifts, no perfect gifts, no loving giver, no strong God who we can trust. But the verse says, don't be deceived. Life can appear dismal. But is it possible that somewhere in the worst of experiences, even there, God has wrapped a good and perfect gift for us? Some things make me wonder. Why, for example, or why is it, for example, that sometimes people who have so little are sometimes the most grateful? And those who have much often complain because they don't have enough. What makes some people bitter and gloomy, but others appreciative and upbeat? Why is it that some people must first see the miseries of the less fortunate before they can feel thankful? And then others who have faced hard times can still feel that God is good. We feel thankful when we unexpectedly receive something good. You know, Christmas, we expect gifts, don't we? But what about when we get a gift at a time when we did not expect it? Which gift do we treasure most? Sometimes I think we don't feel thankful because we do expect. We take for granted food on the table, do we not? We take for granted that we can see. We take for granted that the tornado didn't hit my house. God asked us to stop, to think about the wonders around us. And He asked us to remember and give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and following, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The gifts of God are what? They're good and perfect. I take this at face value. Much that God has given is unquestionably good and perfect. Gifts like friendship, love, taste and touch, sight and intelligence, hearing and smelling, beauty and wisdom, and yes, at times forgetfulness. But then I remember pain. And yet, even in pain, the Bible brings forth the words good and perfect. Romans 8, 28 and verse 31. Verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, could it be that hidden behind every disappointment is a good gift waiting to be discovered? How am I supposed to react, though, when life seems unfair? It seems crazy to say, thank you. God does not write us off because we are disappointed or doubtful. We are warned about grumbling and complaining. It's true. And yet the Psalms often present human frustration and deep questions. But the Psalms are also full of thanks. Time and time again, complaint is turned to praise. Questions are turned to gratitude. And anxiety gives way to thanksgiving. And here's what's weird. Oftentimes, this attitude changes long before the circumstances change. Life is still frightening. And it is often frustrating and unfair. But suddenly our perspective has shifted. Somewhere behind the gloom, we know that God is doing something. And because we know He is doing something, we give thanks and show our gratitude. This is what we need, a new perspective. And this new perspective can make all the difference in our life. Is it really surprising then that God might be able to bring good out of circumstances that appear bad to us at the moment? The good gifts. Where? Let me ask this question. Where do good and perfect gifts come from? From God. From the Father above. How many good and perfect gifts come from God? All. Have you ever noticed that? All good and perfect gifts come down from the Father. Good and perfect gifts do not originate on earth. Their source is heaven. Colossians 3:2. Paul says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. What do you think the point here is? The point is what? Earthly things can disappoint. Earthly things can be sad. Earthly things are not always good. I have heard that those who have little or nothing are often the most joyful and the most thankful people. I think it's because they can appreciate the good thing when it comes. Parents, do we spoil our children, particularly at Christmas time? Do we, Sarah? Do your parents spoil you, Sarah? I think they do. You know why, Sarah? Because your parents love you. And you too, Emily. I'm sure your parents love you too. And so, we're spoiled, aren't we? We get good gifts all the time. Who gives you candy in the morning after you sing? Charlie. Sometimes I think the teachers don't like that when you bring candy into the classroom. Though Charlie does say, don't eat it during class. Ladies, don't listen to Charlie. But parents love you. They give you good gifts. God the Father loves you and He's going to give you good gifts. And so, when we don't often have good gifts and we get one, I think it's easier for us to be thankful. Those who have much tend to lack gratitude and simply to expect more. Why? It is because we are too blessed to be thankful. We have too much. And our good stuff weighs us down, making it harder for us to think about those things that are truly important. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 verses following. It's a riddle, I think, that God gives us. Listen to this. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That makes no sense, does it? In a human perspective, that makes no sense. What do we like to say? A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. And unfortunately, we think that way, don't we? We are not to look at the things that are seen, God says, but those which are unseen. In thanksgiving, then, perspective is everything. The truly important things in life are what? They're not things of this earth. Understand my point here? The things of this earth are unimportant. If we have them or don't have them, should not make the difference in our thankfulness and gratitude to God. Once again, where does every good and perfect gift come from? From above. There is a place to look when frustration comes, isn't there? A direction to turn when life is most confusing. Where are we commanded to look? Up. Up to the stars? Up to God. When things aren't going well, we are told to look to God. Because where do the good and perfect gifts come from? I mean, this could sound strike to say to look up. But there really is a point to it. James tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Let's look closer at what he's saying. He says, don't be deceived. Life is not what it appears to be. If you look at life and draw your conclusions too quickly, you're going to be fooled. You might think there are no good gifts. Or you might mistake the origin of good gifts. Good gifts, the Bible says, are not earthly. They come from heaven. Are not of earthly origin. This is why we are to set our minds on things above. Because every single good and perfect gift comes from the Father. The disappointments and downtimes are earthly. The good stuff is in heaven. And God shares it with His children. But are these answers enough? I have only fragmentary answers for the deep mysteries of God concerning want and pain. I do know that want and pain are temporary, and that one day God has promised to change them. I know that even now He reaches down to those who are in want and in need. He feels their pain. And in the midst of the best and the worst of time, He gives. This is important. Listen up. Who does God often use as His hands and His feet and His mouth? Us. If we do not let God use us to do good, who will? It has been said, and think about this a second. It's been said that God's best gifts are wrapped in forever and tied up with tomorrow. Think about that. You've got all day. It is true. God gives good gifts. Perfect gifts. But that does not mean He is satisfied with the pain we endure. Sometimes it's hard to say thanks. Sometimes we are trapped in circumstances that frankly stink. We may find reason for hope, though. We may even experience joy. But God does not expect us to be satisfied forever with our crummy condition. In this world, we enjoy the gifts of God. But in this world, we are also confronted with sadness, with disappointment, with sickness, and with death. Relationships fall apart. Children go hungry in our world. Accidents happen. People get violent. And bad news is not always confined to the news, is it? Sometimes it hits home. Sometimes it becomes personal. Sometimes the bad news creeps into our lives. Do you remember where good and perfect gifts come from? They are from above. They come down from the Father. If you want that which is good and perfect, sooner or later, you're going to have to go to the place where it originates. You're going to have to turn and go to heaven. You must join them at their source. And God has given us this very possibility. He has given us, through His Son, Jesus Christ, eternal life in heaven. The origin of all good and perfect gifts. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruit of all He created. My new life as a Christian and yours is God's guarantee that He will make changes for the good in this imperfect world within which we live. A world that holds us captive to want and to pain. We are the first fruits of what this new thing he created has. We are the first fruits. He will change this world. He will correct creation. The shacks and the hungers of this world will one day be removed. But many of you might be saying, but why must the wait be so long? Brethren, with gratitude in our hearts, we as Christians can truly pray this thought. Someday I will see you, and suddenly I will forget my pain. I will put my sadness behind me. I will be caught up in all that is truly good and perfect. It may not be in this world, though. It is that which is wrapped in eternity and is seen and given tomorrow. But to even begin to receive the good and perfect gifts of God, we must be His children. The Apostle Peter tells us how to become children. Acts 2, verse 37 and following. When the people heard this, the prayer, the sermon of Peter, they felt guilty. And as Peter and the other apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, change your hearts and lives and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away. It is for everyone the Lord our God calls to Him. Peter warned them with many other words. He begged them, save yourselves from the evil of today's people. Then those who accepted what Peter said were baptized. About 3,000 people were added to the number of believers that day. They spent their time learning the apostles' teaching, sharing, breaking bread, and praying together. Do you want to be a child of God? Do you want to start receiving good and perfect gifts? Then come this morning as we stand and sing our invitation song.